Welcome to the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota. This is Arts and Cultural Heritage producer Jeff Carmack, and in today's episode, we get to witness the beginning of the creative process. There's a small group of people and organizations in St. Cloud which are helping out in the development of an originally written and directed and produced play by a first-time playwright and director who decided not so long ago to resist the inertia of everyday life and to make the decisions and effort to follow his dreams, which are now on the cusp of coming true. Today I'm talking with Lucille Ginta Bates, Scarlet Revolver, and this first-time writer-director, Anthony Schrock. The play is called 2 Days in St. Cloud, and this coming Sunday, August 19th, at 7 p.m., this group of folk will be putting on a script-in-hand performance of the play at the Beaver Island Brewing Company. This event is free and open to the public, and also a precursor to another event in September at Jules Bistro, and then a fully staged performance at Great Theater's Helgeson Learning Lab in Waite Park come November. Now, while stage performances might not be a new thing here in central Minnesota, as the area can boast multiple stages and theater companies, this play is a little different, as we will find out in our conversation. So, Lucy, Scarlett, Anthony, why don't we start off and you can say, well, who you are and what's your involvement with 2 Days in St. Cloud?
All right, so I'm Lucille Ginta Bates, and I met Anthony on Messenger. He sent me a message on Messenger and said, I've written a play and we're doing a table reading, and would you like to read a part in the play? Just want to hear the play written. And once I realized it wasn't some bogus thing, which I didn't really have any evidence, I just went by my gut instinct.
You have to be careful, though.
You do have to be careful. But then I found out some mutual people I also knew were involved, and I was like, okay, it's a Caribou Coffee and whatever. So I went to that first reading, and then I actually read Alan that first reading, which was funny because there was no Alan. And then there was some discussion about doing something with this, and it just kind of took off. So fast forward, I'm now Jessica, the mom of the family, and then Anthony and I have been working together. He's done most of it, but I've been kind of a point person, grant writing, and just making community connections, like finding some of the other players, cast members, finding different resources, venues, and so we just kind of become partners. Mm-hmm. That's a good word. Yeah. I don't know what other title. So, and for me, I'm a performer, but I'm primarily a dancer, and it's been really something that has eluded me to do some acting, and so this is a kind of a mutual symbiotic relationship because we're kind of exchanging skill sets, and I'm getting mentoring, and I'm getting to have an opportunity that I've really wanted to have for a long time as far as developing my acting skills, so that's been really exciting.
Cool.
Yeah, so I'm Scarlet Revolver, and I play the role of Peggy, who is the sister-in-law of the family. Who's kind of this badass lady from Oregon who's just along for the ride. So yeah, I'm happy to be coming back to theater after not doing it basically since high school. This type of acting, at least. So.
Right on.
And I'm Anthony, and I wrote and will be directing the play. Let's see, what do you want, just a little, like...
Well, how did you get, what brought you to do this?
Okay, well...
What's your history with St. Cloud? Because we've just moved back here, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah. I lived here, I went to Apollo High School, which Apollo does get mentioned in our script, which is kind of funny. Mm-hmm. And I went to Apollo from 7th through 12th grade, because that was back when they had, you know, the whole school was there. I moved away from St. Cloud just a few years after high school. I moved to the Twin Cities, and then I kind of moved to some other places from there. And I am just back after 22 years away. I just moved back about a little over two years ago. And when I returned, I felt like really interested in getting back into the theater world, because as a youth, I had done many plays, a couple dozen plays, you know, community shows downtown, back when it was County Stern's Theatrical. I don't know if you guys remember that, but so when I came back to town, I wanted to get back in again, but I didn't know anybody, you know. And it's not like it's a hard community to break into, because the people are really friendly and stuff, but to just be a single person, like alone in the city, and like go down and audition is a little I don't know, a little intimidating. So something inside me said, you know, maybe it's time to write something instead. And I thought, you know, write something that's kind of about St. Cloud, or at least involves the St. Cloud family, and see if I can get it put on. When I first wrote it, I didn't even think it was possible. I didn't know anything about the process. But then that first table read, you know, Lucille, you and Laura, Stephanie, were very encouraging. I mean, after that table read, you know, you seemed to feel like that the project had legs, and it made me think about it in a whole new way. Because before that, I had just thought, let's get some actors together to do a table read just so I can hear it, you know, and I thought that would kind of be the end of it, but... the project just sort of started moving on its own, and Lucille, you were really key in the beginning there. You knew the person from the Central Minnesota Arts Board that I should talk to about the grant, and then, you know, you knew some of the other actors that we pulled in, you know, Scarlett, Alan, and it just kind of rolled from there. Yeah, it's been really interesting putting it all together, and we have been kind of partners in it, because there's some really key connections that you made that I never would have made, and you're... Your outgoing energy has really added a lot, too. Because I'm kind of an introvert. You know, I'm kind of more the writer type.
We make a good team. Introvert, balanced team.
It works really well.
Yeah, it does. So it just happened really organically. Like, we just got to know each other really fast, too. It's just, like, really...
Well, this whole process happened pretty quickly, actually, didn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, this is the very definition of experimental theater to me, you know. And I was amazed at how quickly things could move.
Yep. Yeah, because that was May. The first table reading was May.
Yep, and then we had another one in June, one in July, and here we are, you know, already with November dates for a show. So.
Right.
Yeah, so, yeah, because I remember seeing the flyers up at the veranda.
Oh, for the Actors Wanted?
Yeah, yep. I remember seeing that. It was right when we were finishing up Veranda Variety Hour, and I'm just kind of like, well, that's interesting, and... I'm busy, I'm going to do stuff.
And,
you know, you kind of get like that.
And that was what Stephanie saw, and then she contacted me via email. I sent her a copy of the script, and she was the first one who told me, you know, that she had been looking for roles for women, and there weren't really very many great ones, but she really locked into the part of Laura. I think she really identified with the character. Her personality is a little bit like the character's personality, too, so she was really excited about it. That's... You and her basically gave me the excitement I needed to really think of it as something that could be done, you know.
Well, tell me a little bit about the play. What is it? Kind of a little plot synopsis or whatever.
Yeah, well, it's a story about a family at its most basic. The seven characters, they're all either blood relatives or married into the family, or the only one character who doesn't have the last name that everybody has is just dating one of the characters. And it's about a group of adult children who get together to conspire to keep their parents from adopting a young child who's in the family, because they claim that the parents did a terrible job as parents and kind of set them into on a bad course, and they don't want to see it happen to their nephew, who's this child who's going to be adopted by the parents. What else can you say? I mean, hijinks, surprises.
A lot of family drama, if you will.
Family drama. Things don't go the way that the kids planned it. Once they actually get to the parents kind of flip the script on them a little bit, and they have the surprises of their own. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, it's great, I think. For the most part, comedy, but yeah, there's definitely some good moments of some drama, you know, that comes with a real family. So, but there's a lot of, I mean, great laughs and humor in addition to, like, keeping it interesting with the surprises. A couple things, even when I did the first table read that I didn't see coming, and I was like, nice!
Yeah, I'd say it's like 80% comedy, the rest, you know, family dysfunction drama.
Yeah.
I like to describe it as Arrested Development meets Ordinary People.
Mm. Yeah.
In St. Cloud.
In St. Cloud? Yeah.
Well, it is 2 days in St. Cloud, right? That's
that
what it's called.
Title, yeah. Okay. Because Act 1 is Friday night, Act 2 is Saturday morning.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice. So what inspired this writing of it? I mean, you could have written anything, but you wrote this.
It's a good question. It was this past winter. I was thinking about, writing something that would be simple enough that it could actually be produced. So I had producing it in my head from the moment I started writing it. So I wanted something with a small cast, all adults, no children, no pets, No fight scenes, no
complex, no pyrotechnics.
Yeah, no complex,
no glitter,
special
effects. No fake blood.
Right. Oh, no glitter? Come on. You
know, just a show that would be mostly dialogue. Like, you watch a movie like The Breakfast Club.
Yep.
There's eight actors. It's
hanging
nothing
out,
but dialogue.
Yeah, hang out in, like, one room, basically.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, brilliant.
Simple to produce, easy to block. That was my goal. And then... at the time, I think what was happening was I was watching a lot of the television show Intervention. Have you guys seen that show?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yeah.
So I started thinking about, okay, how could we do an intervention that's funny? And I thought, okay, what if a group of people, you know, got together to try to convince their friend to go back to drinking? That was kind of funny, but I think it's been done before.
Yeah.
So then I was like, well, what else? Okay, how about a group of people tries to intervene to tell a couple that they should get divorced? You know, and then mm-hmm. the idea kind of started rolling from there. Okay, what if the kids are telling the parents to get divorced? Okay, what if the parents are already divorced and they're telling them not to? Okay, and then so mm-hmm. that, and it just started to roll from there. Yeah, and
kind of like little steps.
Yeah,
it's just like, well, this is better, but not quite it. This is better, but not quite it.
Yeah, because I wanted to do something that I hadn't really seen before. I watch a ton of movies, and I've seen almost every plot you can imagine, but I wanted something that was kind of original, and I think we kind of hit the mark with this. And then once you get the characters in your head and enough of a plot that you can outline it, I think it's just a matter as a writer of going in deep enough that you can just kind of close your eyes and let the actors play in your imagination. I mean, it's almost like once I got going, the actors were almost telling, or the characters were almost telling me their lines.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was one of those experiences.
Yeah.
So I really felt like it had a really great flow for me in the writing process. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be a lot of flash and all that, but just really interesting people, you know, identifiable characters. Because I think in our characters, I think everybody in the audience will find one or two people that they either know somebody just like that, or they feel like that's just like them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And that's one of the fun things. I'm looking forward to getting some of those reactions from people.
Mm-hmm. You're in tune to 88.1 FM KVSC and the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota. Today, we're speaking with Lucille Ginta Bates, Scarlet Revolver, and Anthony Schrock about Anthony's experience as a first-time playwright and director and how the whole thing is coming together with performances at Beaver Island Brewery, Jules Bistro, and Great Theaters, Helgeson Learning Lab. And now as we get back into it...
So do you all recognize any of the characters as people within your lives?
I mean, I don't know. Even when Steph mentioned to me that I should come do the table read, you know, because she's a friend of mine, I said that I would love to try to get back into theater, especially after having my surgery and stuff like that on my back. So I was like, oh, that's a great way for me to still be on stage, but maybe not quite in the same capacity, and I just miss it and whatever. So she's like, this character is basically you. And so I was like, well, that would be kind of a nice soft landing back in the theater to just essentially play myself. So, I mean, I definitely relate with the character Peg in a lot of different ways, because she is kind of, you know, she's pretty sassy and is just kind of like, again, like along for the ride. She's just watching all this stuff unfold, isn't really getting too involved, but is kind of like, all right, like I'm just here to hang out and to party a little bit. So I identify with her. But honestly, I also identify a little bit with Stephanie's character, Laura, too, in some regards. It's kind of like trying to be the peacekeeper of the family and gets a little high-strung and stuff like that. So, and I honestly, I identify with Kevin a little bit, too. Kevin's just kind of, character Kevin is the brother. He's just like kind of the weirdo of the family, like doing his own thing. Like, so I don't know, I relate with a couple of characters. But I totally agree with what Anthony said, that... the audience is definitely going to find a couple. And like for me, at least, when I watch, you know, television movies or, you know, plays or whatever, those types of characters make me laugh even more because I'm like, oh, God, I'm pretty sure I've said that before. Or like, oh, my God, she sounds just like my mom, or, you know, things like that. Right. And it just, I don't know, you like resonate with it so much more. And you get lost in the show then. At least that's how I am when I observe, you know, watch, you know, plays and things like that. I get lost in it so much more because I'm like, oh, this could be my life, you know?
Mm-hmm. It's nice to hear what you say about Peggy kind of like sitting back and, you know, she's got, there are things that are important to her, but not a lot of what's happening are the things that are important to her.
Right.
So she can have this, a little bit of a detached amusement, a little bit like Kevin has too.
Yeah.
Which I like.
Yeah. And then they kind of relate to the audience in that way. And a sort of, you know, of like, well, we're just kind of here watching just like you guys, you know?
So, the character that I play, Jessica, at first I'm like, well, there's a lot of things I feel like I don't have in common with her. I'm very emotionally expressive and out there, and she's more aloof and reserved in her demeanor. But the more time I've spent with her, the more that I realize that there's little pieces of her that overlap like a little Venn diagram. I am the leader of my family, and sometimes I find myself extremely irritated that nobody knows what the hell's going on except me. And like, that's an actual thing.
Yeah.
And I start using like Jessica's words when I'm talking to my family, because I'm in this, I can't find myself like exasperated, and I'm like, what's wrong with you people? Why don't you understand? So I don't think of myself as aloof the way she is, although I think I can kind of get I can kind of get over there a little bit when I really get aggravated about something. So it's been fun to explore that character, who I've definitely had to consciously do some things differently to feel like I'm portraying her the way that she's a lot more sarcastic than I am, and like I said, aloof and very composed. And under control of her demeanor most of the time. And that, I'm my heart's on my sleeve, and I'm like the opposite of that. But somewhere in the middle, there's a blend of the two. So it's just been funny in the past week or so. I've been noticing it a lot lately. And I don't know if it's just situational. but it's been really fun. And I feel like it's like giving birth to something, you know, this character, first of all, understanding what the writer wants the character to be, and then where you come at with it, and then where can you go with it, and then what is being asked of you, and then what you kind of just throw in, and kind of feeling it evolve, which is really fun. And I'm a dancer and a choreographer, and that reminds me a lot of choreography and the general creative process, where you start out with a thing and then you play with it and you're like, no, that doesn't work, oh, but that works, and kind of this trial and error, and then a thing also all of a sudden kind of just starts to grow. And now you don't even know exactly what you did, but there's a thing there when there was nothing there before. And so to me, that's just the artistic process, and you could do it with theater or art or dance. And so that's fun for me to see my tools as a dancer and a choreographer, how those are also applicable to developing a character when acting. So I kind of went on a segue, but
I was thinking that tonight while we were rehearsing, actually, like as I was watching you kind of move around and make your notes and stuff like that, I had a like nice moment of being like, okay, so I'm also a choreographer, and I do that almost on a daily basis, where, you know, I have like things laid out and mapped out as far as my choreography and stuff like that, and then I get in here and I'll like stare off into space for a moment, and my students are like, just let her do her thing. Mm-hmm. And then like I move people around, and like, you know, you do those things. So I was kind of watching Anthony do that, and I was like, oh, that's cool to be on this side of it. You know, I'm so often in that realm, at least with choreography, doing what he's doing. I really like observing people in their process, and like, you know, like watching them make their ideas happen physically, because like I also know what that feels like to see the things that have been in your head actually happening, and you're like, oh my god, am I gonna cry?
It's
am
exciting.
I gonna like, yeah, you feel it's like such a wonderful, overwhelming feeling. Yeah. So yeah.
Yeah. I'm just getting a taste of it, because I mean, this is my first directing experience, you know. So
you're gonna cry, Anthony.
I am gonna cry.
You're gonna cry.
Maybe not on the 19th, because I'm gonna be too busy to cry.
Yeah.
But definitely in
November. You'll go home later and cry for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, and what, you know, what you said about sometimes, you know, you work something and you find things that you didn't even know were going to be there,
right.
And it's really a thrill. Like, that's
right.
What this whole thing has been
right.
For me.
Yeah.
Like, you know, in my head, Peggy wasn't nearly as funny and interesting as you've brought, you know. So that's why I find myself writing more and more lines for Peggy as we kind of go, because I want to...
Well, that's one thing I've also enjoyed about playing Peggy, too, is that, like, you know, I said, well, I'm a lot like her, but, you know, when I made the comparison with the ways that I'm like Laura, as far as being, like, more uptight and, like, being a planner and stuff like that, so playing the role of Peggy has been kind of like, yeah, like, I can kind of kick back. But, yeah, so that's been a cool, you know, a cool thing to explore as far as, you know, doing some acting. But, yeah, it's a fun role. I like it.
Good.
You're in tune to 88.1 FM KVSC and the Untold Stories of Central Minnesota. Today we're talking with Scarlet Revolver, Lucille Genta-Bates, and Anthony Schrock about the new original play that Anthony's written and is in development, called 2 Days in St. Cloud. And as you've been picking up on the conversation, these things don't just happen in a vacuum. They just don't spring into existence. Anthony had help. So as we get back into the conversation...
So you had some help, some partnerships in developing this. Why don't you tell me a little bit about that? What's the road from, you know, you're sitting on your couch one day going like, well, I'm going to write this thing, to all of a sudden you've got something coming up in November. So kind of take me on that path and let's end up in November.
Sure, yeah. Well, I wrote it over the winter, this past winter, that the winter that just wouldn't end. And the winter that just wouldn't end is part of our script. Mm-hmm. So it's actually, the story takes place in winter. And I did. I finished it. I got the rough draft. I put up that ad saying, hey, does anybody in town, you know, want to just do this one table read with me? I had a date in, what, May?
May. Yeah.
And I got a few responses from that. And then I got, I picked up Lucille online on Facebook through some friends of friends. And then we did that first table read, and I think, what, four of us stayed? Mm-hmm. Stayed in the parts, and then we did another table read a month later. So at this point, the script had pretty much been written. You know, we were making minor changes to it and things like that. And then the next table read we did, which was in, what, June? Mm-hmm. Was when we brought Scarlett, yep. You in. Mm-hmm. And that table read in June was, that was the actual cast. Mm-hmm. So from mid-June until now, we've been the same, you know, seven actors and one director.
Yep.
The script hasn't really changed all that much. We refined it. We've added a few lines, a few funny lines, and smoothed a few things out. But mostly it stayed the same. So we're going to be doing a couple of alternative performances, this script-in-hand performance at Beaver Island on Sunday night. And then we're going to do, about a month later, we're going to do an event at Jules Bistro downtown. And then we're not sure what's going to happen with October yet, but in November, then we're going to be on stage at the Learning Lab, Great Theatre's Learning Lab in Waite Park.
And then, so just to add in, because the piece was the beginning of the grant writing process, which coincided with the second table reading, because the second table reading we had video taken, because part of that grant process is a 7-minute video. So one of the connections that I brought was Heather Allen, and Scarlett also knows Heather, from the Central Minnesota Arts Board, because her job is to find artists that mm-hmm. need money to create art. Mm-hmm. So we invited her to an informal table reading in Caribou, and then she basically laid out the process, and so then that's when Anthony started writing the grant so that we could stage a full production in November. So
it blew my mind, like, just how, what kind of infrastructure St. Cloud has for supporting this kind of, you know, grassroots small theater production.
Minnesota's amazing for arts appropriation.
And then even just communicating with Great Theater, how they're like, well, the Hocus and Learning Lab, that's exactly what it's there for, experimental theater. Mm-hmm. We want to hear from local artists. So it was basically a matter of what dates do they have, and then our board just needs to approve your script, and so that's all just like being finalized as we speak. But that was exciting for us, because that was the first thing we talked about is, where are we going to put on a show, and how are we going to pay for it? Mm-hmm. And really, those two problems solved themselves within about 3 or 4 weeks of us pounding the pavement and just talking to people in our network. And it just unfolded. So, I mean, there's been a lot of work, but it's also just unfolded really just very
fluidly. Well, I think it's a side of, like, the creative process, too, at least in my experience over the years. You know, I've been an artist basically, you know, full time for many years, and it's like that kind of side of the process that maybe a lot of people would not know about or realize, as far as being like, okay, where are we going to have the venue, where are we going to get the money, that thing right there. It's amazing, and I think really inspiring, and something that I just want to be like, stand on a mountain and be like, hey, artists, you can really make some awesome stuff happen. Right. Like, the resources are there. Yes, you have to go out and find them. Yes, you do sometimes have to really, like, bust your butt, like, doing it. But it's cool to watch this kind of stuff again unfold, right. And just, like, how many connections are there and how those resources really are available, and that people really do want to see projects like this get off the ground and happen. And the support them, really.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When I read the mission statement of the Central Minnesota Arts Board, and then again when I read the mission statement of the Helgerson Theater, I just thought, oh my gosh, this is exactly what, you know, this is exactly what is, this is exactly what we need, and we're exactly what they're looking for.
Yeah.
Yes.
So how do you feel this has changed you all? What has it done so far? I mean, you're not, you haven't seen the play on stage just yet, but there's a process. And I think that's part of, it's not just putting the art out there for the folk to see, but it's also, what is it doing to you?
I mean, for me, it's absolutely turned me into somebody who wants to write more plays and produce more plays. In fact, I'm already working on next year's. One thing, or the major lesson that I've learned from this whole thing is if you want to actually put on a play, you have to start planning a year in advance. I mean, to get the grant, to get the venues, to get the actors. So, I mean, we're doing this production on the 19th, and then we're kind of taking it easy until we do our next production in September. Right after the 19th, I'm going to be writing next year's play and starting next year's, you know, grant application. So it's fired me up like crazy for making art in St. Cloud, and I'm amazed and really happy about the level of support that's available for this kind of independent production.
How about you two?
Yeah, I think for me, I mean, kind of to build off of, I guess, what Anthony said, like, it also has me inspired in a new way. And like I had mentioned before, I haven't really done acting in this setting. Like, I'm a performance artist through and through, but it's really great. And it makes me also want to do more theater, to do more acting, or get involved in that in whatever other ways that I can. And yeah, as someone who has produced shows and directed and choreographed and kind of been in that seat, I really do enjoy taking this other role in the process, which is learning and developing my skills and basically being the person who's not in charge, is really nice. And that's a different side of, you know, my creativity that's like for me. So that's been really cool to do and experience. And it's a really cool cast. You get to hang out with awesome people and build new friendships. So that's one part about art, making art, experiencing art, supporting art, that I love the most, is like you make connections with some really phenomenal people, both that you're working with and then the other people who come out to support. I mean, that's like my big network of people that just keeps growing is really through art.
Well, for me, it's really interesting because, you know, I'm a 51-year-old ballet dancer and I tore my ACL last February, which was, about how far done with your play were you in February? You were in the middle of it.
I was probably in the middle of it.
So it was very traumatic for me because I'm still in the midst of that rehab. And so I immediately realized that I had to find another creative outlet that was not dance. I had several people tell me that because I was really in a very bad emotional place. There was like a lot of car crying and like I just could not get, like I could not get my life together. It was really bad. And so I was actively seeking those things out, but I was also like, I don't know, how do I get in? And then it was like, Anthony magically found me just when I needed to be found. And so how it's changed me is it's made me realize that there's a lot of ways I can express myself artistically, and it definitely inspires me to continue down this path because I want to continue as a performer for a lifetime, and I know I can still dance, and I still do, even though I'm rehabbing an injury, but I need to look at everything differently and more sustainably. So as I'm a maturing performer and getting into my 60s, 70s, or 80s, you know, Tony Bennett just turned 92 and he just cut an album with Diana Krall. That's like what I want to be like. And you need to find ways that you can do that, that your body can sustain. So that this has given me confidence. So I would say that is something that I needed, was confidence to know that I could pursue that, and that I'm, you know, I'm 51 now. So by the time I'm 90, I'm going to be like, I won't drop an F-bomb. I will be awesome without dropping the F-bomb, because I would have normally dropped the F-bomb right there. So yeah, so I think that's how it's changed me. It's made me feel more confident and know that there are other ways I can express myself other than dance.
I was going to make a show joke right there. The family bomb? Uh-huh. Right. That F-word?
Yes, that's the word.
Family show. That's what I meant to say.
Yeah.
Our show does have adult language. It has drinking. It has hallucinogenic mushroom trips. I don't know, a few off-color jokes for sure. Some mentions of intercourse, I think, right? Aren't there?
Yeah.
A couple?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So you know.
Unconventional living situations.
Yeah. Don't bring your 10-year-old to this show.
Probably not.
That's life, though. So there you go. Well, right on. Well, thank you all for talking today.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for coming
visiting
out.
Us.
Yeah, thank you.
You've been listening to The Untold Stories of Central Minnesota here on 88.1 FM KVSC with Scarlet Revolver, Lucille Gintabates, and Anthony Schrock. We've been talking about 2 days in St. Cloud, Anthony's original play, the first he's written, and the first he's directed. 2 days in St. Cloud will have a table read coming up this Sunday, August 19th at 7 p.m. at the Beaver Island Brewery in St. Cloud. And then there'll be another event coming up in September at Jules Bistro. And then finally at the Helgeson Learning Lab of Great Theater, there'll be a staged performance in November. For links to more information on these events and other theater goings-on on Central Minnesota stages, stay tuned to our website at kvsc.org under the Area Events tab. This has been Arts and Cultural Heritage producer Jeff Carmack, and The Untold Stories of Central Minnesota is made possible through funding by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and has been produced at KVSC, a proud member of AMPRS, Diverse Radio for Minnesota's Communities.